We are in that this period of the year when we are thinking about what's happened over the course of a year and leaving things behind and getting ready for a new year ahead. And some resolutions, some areas where we want to change can make a difference. I've learnt that in the last 12 months when I set myself the challenge to develop a spiritual habit of gratitude, looking for situations and opportunities where I would find a reason to be able to verbally express gratitude to someone. A stack of different situations, sometimes at home with those I know the best, at other times in a cafe or a restaurant somewhere with a waiter or a waitress who I'd never met before, but just looking for opportunities to be able to say, "Hey, I just noticed that you did this. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it." It's really funny because what started out as something I had to do consciously, by the end of the year felt like it was something that I was just doing spontaneously and naturally. And if anything, I began to be a little bit worried that maybe I was going a bit over the top in terms of the change that it had brought to me, my sudden awareness or my growing awareness over the course of a year of all the things that other people were doing around me, which were worth a moment to pause and to look them in the eye and say thank you. There's no doubt about it, if we make a determination to change in some way in our life and persevere at that over time in those thousands of little moments, that we can begin to make some changes in who we are and what happens around us. Today and over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing this sermon series called Ready, Set, Go. Let's get ready for a great year. In the weeks that are coming up, we'll be talking about faith. Faith is something that helps us get ready for a great year. And then talking about energy and time, how we use our energy and how we use our time and how they can set us up for a great year. We'll also be looking at contentment and identity and how these two can set us up for a great year in 2020. But today, we're going to look at prayer. Prayer as a foundation for a great year ahead. A simple memory verse. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. I'm going to ask you to say this along with me right now. Can we say it together? Are you ready? Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. This could be an exciting opportunity for us to lay a foundation for a great year in 2020. Let me tell you a story about some of the things that can happen when one person just responds to a prompting and devotes themselves to prayer. It's the story of a guy called Heath. The person who prays for him is another person, but I want to tell you Heath's story and the impact that another person's devotion to prayer had in his life. Heath became involved in the occult when he was just a child. And it led him into a lifestyle of darkness in the future. Ultimately, you can't choose to get involved in those things for long without finding yourself in a place that you can't reverse on your own. His comment was that for him it meant that he was tormented for years. But without him knowing, all that began to change one day in eighth grade when, as he and his classmates were between classes and he was at his locker getting books for the next class, as he was there, when God spoke to a young lady who was in his class and said to her as she was walking past, "Pray for that young man." And God added a touch of incentive to it by adding, "You're going to marry him one day." Of course, Heath, the guy, didn't find out about that for some years later. But the young lady dared to listen, dared to believe, and dared to pray. They struck up a little bit of a friendship in year eight, but at the end of the year went their separate ways. Why? Well, she was a cheerleader and went to church every Sunday, and he was involved in all of this dark behaviour. He looked like a human skeleton, and he expressed it himself. He lived his life in quiet desperation. A little while later, toward the end of school, one day he was in a physics class and they had to divide up into pairs to do a prac together, and he wasn't particularly interested, so he started chatting to the guy he had formed a pair with, and it just happened that this guy was a Christian who went to church, and he started asking him about God, and then this guy just said, "Well, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday?" And you'll never guess, he did. And he was surprised that he did. Heath was surprised where he turned up 2 days later and went to church with his friend. But something happened. Because that night, he lay in his bedroom, alone, unable to sleep, in this quiet desperation that seemed like it was with him always, thinking about God, wondering what on earth could be the truth, when suddenly he was overwhelmed emotionally and began to cry. And this is how he expressed the experience. "I felt like God himself had come into my room. And I remember saying out aloud, 'Jesus, you really are who you say you are.' It didn't seem like he was angry with me or ashamed of who I had become or appalled at my choices. Deep inside, I believed he loved me just as I was. And God's presence was so real that I could almost feel him breathing in my face." Well, you can imagine, a few days later, he went back to church and at that service gave his life to Christ. And as he did, he said that he experienced some remarkable things. His body was supernaturally and instantaneously healed. His addictions vanished. He said, "It was almost as if I met myself for the very first time." Well, the very next morning in the post was a handwritten letter from the girl who'd been in his class in year eight, and who had heard the whisper to pray for him. And this letter just happened to arrive the morning after he gave his life to Christ as his Lord and Saviour. Well, the rest is history, if you can guess. They reconnected, met up, and a little while later married. And it was only after they married that he found her prayer journals. And that's when he realised just how faithfully she had been praying for him. In her prayers, daily, weekly, monthly, each year, since she'd first heard that whisper. He expressed it this way. He said, "I'm the product of a girl who dared to pray and the Saviour who stepped into my darkness." I wonder if God is asking you to pray for someone in 2020. I wonder if God is asking you to devote yourself to prayer for a person in 2020. Is there someone who's come to mind right now as as I've asked that question? Is there a name or a face that's on your heart right now? Is God asking you to devote yourself to prayer for one person in the next 12 months? Who knows what a difference it could make in their lives and in your life? Just like what happened here when this young lady, Ava, I believe was her name, felt a prompting to pray for Heath. And it changed both their lives. Her devotion to prayer. Devoted's an interesting word, isn't it? We talk about a devoted couple or a devoted family or someone who's devoted to their work or maybe devoted to a cause. And when a person is devoted, it means that they give something substantial to something. They give their time or they give their resources or they give their money or they give their energy, or they give their effort to this thing that they're devoted to. It means focused, being focused on that particular thing. When a person is devoted to a cause, they work to achieve the goals associated with that cause. When they're devoted to a person, they place that person's needs above their own. I actually made one of my 2020 goals or resolutions about 6 months ago. I decided in June that in 2020 I would run more half marathons. It's one of those things, isn't it? I love running. I'm devoted to running. I think that's a fair assessment. I love running. It's just so much fun. I get so much enjoyment out of it. And I decided that I wanted to run more half marathons. And I've been getting ready for it ever since then. Slowly but steadily. I've been working on my weekly habits and routines to make sure that I've got a routine that allows me to get a lot of regular runs in every week, so that I'm running 5 or 6 times a week. I've also had to increase the distance that I'm running. And so that's been a slow and steady process of just each week or every couple of weeks, just increasing the distance I ran that week only by 5 or 10% at a time. I've been learning. For Christmas, I asked for my gift from my boys to be a subscription to a leading runners magazine. I also went shopping for the family, got into a bookshop, and guess what? They had two great running books, 75% off. So I bought myself a Christmas present as well. I've got goals. I'm running with others who have been there, done that. I've been watching carefully what I eat and have lost 6 kilograms in 6 months, just slowly and steadily trimming my weight. The best part about running, though, is you get to go and buy new shoes all the time. Who's interested in becoming a runner in 2020? Am I seeing all the ladies put their hands up? And yes, if you want to buy 3-inch heels to run in, that's completely your prerogative. You could do that if you wanted to. But you do spend a lot of money on new shoes. What would it mean if some of us became devoted to prayer in 2020? What would it mean for you if you became devoted to prayer in 2020? It would mean just making a start. Just making a start. That would be part of it. It would mean maybe getting into a few little habits or routines. Maybe initially it would just be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Getting into some routines. Maybe it would mean buying a book on prayer so you could learn a few things. Maybe it would mean finding one or two others who could be a prayer partner for you. That's a great way. It's a great tool for runners, I can tell you. If you early Saturday morning run, if I'm got a commitment to meet a friend, that gets me out of bed and gets me there on time. Praying with some others. Maybe a journal where you could write down some of your prayers or keep a record. They're the sorts of things that could help you to begin to be devoted to prayer and all the benefits that could come into your life and the lives of those you know and love because of your prayers. As we lead into communion, let me finish with one more story. A story that highlights the value of being devoted to prayer. A particular story about a couple, and the wife, Noreen, for many years had a simple daily habit of prayer. And then suddenly this couple found themselves in an incredibly difficult situation. And her habits and patterns of prayer and prayer in general sustained them through an incredibly difficult time. It's the story of Andrew and Noreen, who were missionaries, moved to Turkey in 1993, lived there for 23 years, and in 2016, finally decided to apply for permanent visas. But when they did, for purely political reasons, as a bargaining chip in negotiations, the Turkish government arrested them. Noreen was imprisoned for 13 days and then released. Stayed in Turkey, where she was advocating for Andrew to get him released and helping at the church they had planted. But Andrew remained in prison for almost 2 years, accused of being a spy and facing the very real possibility of life in prison in a Turkish jail. Andrew reflecting on the prayer that arose around their circumstances, talked about being a very little part in something much bigger. When we devote ourselves to prayer, we also becomes part of something much bigger. But let me just share with you a couple of other comments that Noreen made in an article about her experience. In the interview, there was a reference to the fact that she was allowed to visit once a week for about 30 minutes and then later for about an hour. And she said this, she said, every week I'd write down what I wanted to tell Andrew. I'd include what I thought God wanted me to pray for him, whatever might encourage him. And when I signed in at the prison and then approached the gate, I would say to myself, I'm a daughter of the King, going to see a son of the King. Lord, you back me up here. And when I saw him, we put our hands on the glass plate and I prayed for him. I would always pray something like, I bless you in the name of the Lord. I speak life over you. I speak hope over you. And she went on and said, there were days when I would say, Lord, I've prayed everything I know. Here I am again. I don't know, I'm sure that there's some of us here today who have been in situations where we have felt just like that. We've prayed everything we know to pray, but here we are again. And she went on and said, there's something about just sitting in the Lord's presence. I'm persuaded that time with the Lord is essential. How can we have a relationship with God unless we spend time with God? It's like putting reserves in your spirit. Then the Holy Spirit brings those reserves up when they're needed. When facing difficulties, you have to go to God first. You don't go to your Christian friends or other people first. Those things are all good, but you have to go to God first. There's no substitute for time with God. As we get ready for a great year ahead, as we think about what it means to get ready, get set and go, it's worth remembering right up front that there's no substitute for time with God.